Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out on a curveball. So Strasburg retires the side in order, and he has three strikeouts over two innings of relief.
Steven Strasburg threw three innings of two-hit, four-strikeout relief out of the bullpen last night. Can we put to bed forever this idea that he's not mentally tough? All time in the postseason, he's got a .41 ERA. In 22 innings, he's got 28 strikeouts. He was otherworldly against the Cubs in the division series and pitching them to a
sure
game
was.
Five last time they were in the playoffs. And last night, if you want to give out one game ball or just circle one guy and say he made the biggest difference, and there were a lot of players who were heroic for the Nationals, Strasburg might be the gold medal winner. He might be the guy that stands on the highest platform.
This happens in sports a lot when tourists, nationalists, sort of check in with you, right? The Redskins are thought of as an absolute disaster. Why? Well, national television, something terrible happens. They're awful, and the eyes are upon you. Everybody got to see you. You embarrassed yourself. You went down your leg. In years past, that narrative was absolutely true, I think, with Steven Strasburg as a young pitcher. Error behind him, he melts down, body language stinks, he's ticked off. The icy hot incident, it's got to be, you know, in between a certain number of degrees with this amount of humidity. He's wiping his hand off. You know what's happened? He graduated. That's all gone away. That is a grown-ass man. Who's tougher than you? I'll tell you that right now.
Yes.
He is a nasty SOB. When do you want me to pitch, Skip? Fine, I'll be ready to go. How about I shove?
And he's laughing and dancing.
Yep.
And he's showing personality.
That's a grown-up right there.
This is not your younger brother's Steven Strasburg. This is a guy that's a little bit different. Some other quick personal shout-outs to players from last night. Trey Turner, I'm sure a couple things he'd like to have done differently in some of his at-bats maybe. His solo home run off of, I think, a 99-mile-an-hour pitch from Brandon Woodruff to get the Nats on the board. 3-0 just felt super daunting. 2-0, you're now a bloop shot away from having the tying run at the plate. The difference between being down 2 runs and 3 runs in baseball is probably the largest gap from any leap. Maybe 1-2 is the biggest. But what he did, I thought, was huge. The crowd never got out of the game, so I can't say it got the crowd back into it. They were amazing start to finish, even down 3-0. But it quelled the momentum for the Brewers, and it gave the Nats a little bit of a feel like, okay, we're going to be all right. Zimmerman pinch hit, broken bat, base hit, and his only opportunity of the night.
Huge.
Perfect button touched at the right time. Obviously, Soto becoming the second youngest player in the history of baseball to have a hit to win the game, eighth inning or later in the playoffs. You had the great defensive game, I thought, for Kurt Suzuki. And I would say Daniel Hudson is a attaboy to Mike Rizzo. He goes and gets him at the deadline. That was not a guy being talked about around Major League Baseball as maybe an impact or difference maker. He's essentially become the Nats' closer. He gets the 3 outs against 2 lefties over Doolittle. And, again, Max was not great by any means. 4 hits, 3 runs earned, 6 strikeouts, 3 walks. But Max, after giving up the 2 homers, a lot of guys might have just fallen apart and seen the narrative being written already and walked out to the hill hearing all of the loudmouth Stephen A. Smith talkers saying he came up small and all that. And he buckled down after that and threw 3 really good innings.
Super important how he did it. Again, this is typical, not quite. I mean, he walked more guys than you're used to seeing, but it's a lot of things look Scherzer-like, right? Like the number of strikeouts, the velocity was there, the stuff at times, some of the put away. You saw some of the Scherzer. Then you also saw what's kind of hasn't quite been right since he's come back from the injured list, right? Whether it's leaving a cookie over the plate or, you know, I mean, listen, Thames hit a pretty good breaking ball, I thought, out of the park to right center field. Sometimes you got to tip your cap to the other guy who gets paid to play too. But, man, you're absolutely right in the sense that it's not glamorous, but that's to me what a star does, what a veteran does, what a guy that you can count on does. It's, hey, it's not going great. Do we still have a chance when you're done? The answer was yes.
All right, let's go to you guys. What a scene last night. Just unbelievable. You the real MVP, as Kevin Durant says. Let's go to Dan in Fairfax. What's up, man?
Grant and Danny, I wish I could have gone to the game, but I watched it at my parents' house. I was frustrated because for 7.5 innings, we couldn't hardly get a hit off their pitchers. Hats off to them. They came out firing on all cylinders. But the theme with the Nats is they never give up. And I'm wearing my Zimmerman shirt today. When he got that broken bat hit, I started getting really excited. And with his greatest worst homer was, I think Soto and his hit with the bases loaded was better. I celebrated all night, and it was one of the best games I've ever seen. And once again, I have to say, it's the Nationals. The Nationals. Everybody's talking about the Nationals.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you, Dan. I want to debate that a little bit later, so let's not do it just yet, because I think that could be its own topic with calls. Worth homer versus Soto's two-run single turned into an error and a three-run swing last night. Alex is in Woodbridge on Grant and Danny. Hey, Alex.
Boys, I'm walking into work right now. I'm hungover.
Yep.
I'm late. It was incredible last night. I was in left field right by y'all's booth. We were throwing beers. There's nothing like it, man. I'm telling you, there's something special about this team. It's going to be our year. I'm telling you.
I hope you're right. The Dodgers are no joke. They are the best team in the National League, and it really isn't close. I don't know that I'd want to play the Nats right now. You know, not having Scherzer or Strasburg in Game 1 stings, but this is why you paid $140 million for Corbin.
Sure, this is why we're here.
Here's what I'd like to know, and we don't know right now. Strauss threw 34 pitches, did we say?
That's 34.
Last night.
Mm-hmm.
He also warmed up for a long time. That was not a traditional throw day.
So this was his normal day to start, right?
Right.
So it would have been in the rotation. So that's why it was a little bit of a story that, hey, Scherzer's going to go when Strasburg's on normal rest, a guy that previously... We need to make sure we keep Steven on rhythm and on routine.
Friday is game 2.
Yes.
Friday is, if you do all the math and everything, basically, it's a day before you would feel good about starting him and letting him go like 6 or 7 innings.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, do you throw Anibal Sanchez in game 2? And then you don't throw Strasburg, I guess, until game 3, which means Max wouldn't pitch until game 4. That's not what I'm doing.
That seems weird, right?
But what do you do? I guess, assuming Strauss is willing, I think I throw him in game 2, a little bit short rest, and you just say, it's October. Give me what you got. We'll take our chances with you over Anibal Sanchez. And then game 3 is Max, and then game 4 would be Anibal Sanchez. Something like that. Or because Corbin wouldn't be available, I don't think, unless you went short rest after that. But the big question is, can Strauss throw in game 2? I would be able to better tell you how I feel about the series if I knew who was pitching in game 2.
Yeah, that's the complicated part because you use both those guys. How ready is Strasburg on Friday? How ready is he? Because again, if they pitched, I don't know. Let's say Strasburg had thrown Saturday as Corbin did.
Right.
You'd go, well, this is your throw day. You can come give us a couple innings. Right. This is the normal day you'd come and throw a bullpen. Now, that was almost like a start for him. His normal throw day would probably be Thursday or Friday, right? That he'd throw a bullpen.
I would.
How much can you go? How much can you trust him?
Because he only threw 34 pitches, I think there's a chance. I think, though, if they were going to start him in game 2, they probably don't give him 3 innings, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he was going to pitch in game 2 and they kind of knew that in advance, I know you've got to win the game. But I think, especially trailing like they were, maybe they only give him 2 innings or get him out sooner. I don't know. If he goes in game 2, I feel better about that series.
I tell you what I'm doing. You're going in game 2. Let's figure the rest of the bleep out as we go.
I mean,
Anibal, you're ready to
alert
5.
All the stuff
5.
About the shutdown and overprotecting him and everything, you might opt out. I might never have Rendon again. I might never have Zimmerman again. I know how hard it is to get here. Didn't last year. Nothing is guaranteed to me. If you go out there and you can only give me 5 innings and give up 5 runs, fine. I'll take that over whatever's going to happen.
Here's the baseball. I'll see you out there.
Let's go to Erica in Woodbridge on G&D. Hey, Erica.
Hey, guys. If you'll let me get away with 3 real quick things. Number 1, it felt like we were real baseball fans last night because nobody came and told me to sit down.
You were real baseball fans last night.
Number two, it was kind of poetic that we came back in the eighth after all season having kind of the bullpen breakdowns in the eighth inning.
Ah, interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
And then number three is actually a question. Are you guys hosting a watch party tomorrow? Because I had so much fun when you were at Gordon Biersch a couple years ago.
So the answer is very likely yes. We don't have the details on that. Yes. Here's what I could tell you. Danny and I have to be in studio tomorrow because we're doing the pregame show ahead of the game. We've talked about after our show, just going to one of the places around here to do that. There are some details that need to be ironed out, and we will certainly make that announcement on all social media platforms and on the air, obviously. But I could just tell you now, for me personally, yeah, I'm going to be watching the game somewhere around here, definitely. I think Danny's probably in on that.
In the same way, yeah.
So we'll get you the deets as they develop. We're working on that behind the scenes right now. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Another opportunity for you guys to hop in. I want to know what you were doing when Soto got the hit. What you were thinking when that eighth inning started. Did you, at some point, think they were going to come back, or did you just assume this was going to be ugly? Because I'm not lying to you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you otherwise. I sat there watching the game for 2.5 hours thinking,
going, oh, no.
It was a great run. I hate that 6 months comes down to one game. That was my thought all night long.
I was like, can I talk to Rob Manfred about changing the format?
But I love this format now.
Yeah, now what a great format.
It's the best format I've ever seen.
I'm a big format guy.
Grant and Danny, we love formats, and I don't mean the band that was Fun Before Fun.
They were called Format?
They were called Format.
I did not know that.
The fact that I know that makes no sense.
Slumdog Paulson here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At 11:30 at the bottom of the hour, Casey Stern, who is the TV host for Turner Sports' studio show, pre and post last night, will join us to talk about the Nats winning and getting to the division series. The first ever elimination game win in D.C. for the Nats. Last night, the TV ratings back in. Milwaukee got over a 19 share locally, the number one market in the country. D.C., the number two market in the country for the game, got a little over an 8 share. Now, you could take that however you want to. I think that's a really good big number for
a good TBS
game in Washington, D.C. I don't expect as many people in this city to watch as many people in Milwaukee to watch, which is, you know, has memories of the Brewers in big playoff games going back to the 80s. I like that number. We painted the show red yesterday and did all Nats all day long, and we're doing the same kind of deal today. And, you know, there are people who say, what are you doing? Why would you do that? It's the NFL season, and the Redskins have a lot going on. And maybe from a business standpoint, Danny, from, you know, sheer rating standpoint, which is our job, you know, maybe we should be mixing it up a little more. But to me, I think this is the right thing to do. I'd rather go down talking about this club that's done everything right.
You got to do, I mean, listen, pull back the curtain a little bit. You know, we got a job to do. I'd love to come in here and talk about, like, the new California ruling about the NCAA and allowing athletes to get paid.
That we can't.
But you know what? I'm going to go, as you said, if I turned on the radio today, this is what I expect to hear about. I'd expect to hear about the most exciting thing that's happened. Not an 0-4 team who's getting ready to fire somebody or a kid that can't play yet or whatever. They're playing meaningful games. I'm going down with that.
Let's go Wasim Silver Spring on Grant and Danny. What's up, pal?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I was at a game last night. Absolutely amazing atmosphere. Just a couple of quick points I wanted to bring up. After the game, you know, the atmosphere outside was still amazing. Everyone was chanting, you know, beat LA. And then we went to the Salt Line after, and Mike Rizzo, Asdrubal Cabrera, and Michael A. Taylor just showed up. And so they were chilling with the fans, taking pictures and stuff. And so it's just a really cool atmosphere, I think, around those guys. They're just so friendly and approachable. And I just really love that about this team. And just, you know, wanted to bring it up, how cool that was, you know, to hang out with them after the game.
Yeah, a lot of the dudes are kind of men of the people, if you will. I'll say this, a little insider tip for you if you go to the games. The players end up at Salt Line after their big wins almost every time.
It's a spot to go because, A, the food's delicious. B, it's got a great outdoor bar. And C, that's the other part. Is that,
I mean,
time. You're going to see the celebrity there, right?
So I was texting with some people last night, and we wanted to go out and celebrate and just kind of survey the town and have a drink. And we were debating where to go. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if we go to Salt Line, we're going to see 10 people from the team. But we went the opposite way and did Bonchon right here by the, you know, where we park. But, yeah, if you want to bump into a National after a win, that's probably the place to do it. Let's go to Joyce in Alexandria on Grant and Danny. Hi, Joyce.
Good morning. I was at the game, and it was really unbelievable. And I'm sorry I couldn't hear you guys. I'm sure you did a great job, but we were screaming too loud.
I'll take
it. I'm sure it was awesome.
Don't you apologize to us. You did your job.
Is she talking play ball?
Yeah, he's probably talking about the Junkies.
The Junkies, yeah. So let me say, too, about that. Thank you for the call, Joyce. Really appreciate it. Cakes was pretty much the man on the mic. He was flanked by his wingmen, J.P. Flame and Eric Bickle.
Cakes is the designated guy for that, by the way.
I thought he killed it.
Of course he did.
Now, I would have been really nervous about going off schedule because the Nats give you something they want you to say, and it's very detailed. You don't have a lot of time. And basically, when he's doing it, like, Max Scherzer is already warmed up. The batter is walking up to the box. I mean, it's not like 30 minutes before the game. It's literally the start of the game. And he went off script for like 15 seconds screaming.
Cutting a promo.
The whole ballpark responded. It was great. Teddy is in the district the day after the biggest win maybe in Nats history day. What's up, Teddy?
Well, if that was the biggest win, I was also I was there last night. I was also at the second biggest win. And I wanted to talk about the Jason Worth victory and the Juan Soto victory. And here is my theory. When Worth hit that home run, the drama was all in that one at bat. It was an incredible drama. But last night, the drama, I say, lasted over about three innings. Somewhere around the seventh inning, you could see the stage being set for that bottom of the eighth, maybe the sixth or seventh inning. You could see the order coming up to the heart of the order, and it was just so dramatic, like a Hollywood script.
Thanks for the call, Teddy. I appreciate it. The reason I would go Soto over Worth, and again, we will do this in much more detail later. There's a lot of reasons, honestly. I'm selfishly doing that. I love Soto, and I thought Worth would. I'll be honest with you, just pulling back the curtain, it's not necessarily a personal thing, but I root for Soto as a human being way more, just frankly, to be completely honest. Separating that for a second, though, okay? The Worth home run, it's a tie game. The Soto hit, nobody saw coming, per se. If you don't get that hit, it's just like every other playoff appearance you've ever had. You've got three hits in the game all night before that inning in one run, and you're going to lose. I thought for 2 hours before the Soto went bat, they were going to lose. Literally, for two straight hours. Fastest game ever. It was a 255 game. But for 2 hours, I thought, they're going to lose this game. I didn't think that necessarily while Worth was in that at bat.
Well, with all due respect, Jason Worth hit a home run off Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn ain't Josh Hader.
Right.
Josh Hader is nails. Josh Hader doesn't...
Lefty.
Yeah, he gave up a single to Joey Votto in July. That's the last time he gave up a single to a left-handed hitter. July. He gave up a single to Joey Votto in July. That's the last time he's given up that up. He hadn't given up two singles in an inning the entire season, and then it happened last night. The unlikely nature of it, to me, is what makes it that much more spectacular, and that they were trailing.
And then again, selfishly, if I'm being a fan for a second, and I wear a couple hats here like you do and everyone else on air does.
Sure.
Sometimes we talk as like analytical minds and analysts. This is me as a fan. I love Juan Soto. I love that guy. Like, the list of D.C. athletes for me is, it's hard to kind of put it all together, but Soto, Scherzer, maybe Ovechkin. I mean, that's kind of, he's in my Mount Rushmore, and so for him to have that moment, it was almost like I was happy for him.
Yeah.
If it was, to say in
a weird
way.
It happens to the Nationals now. I get happy for those guys because we've gotten to know them.
Casey Stern of Turner Sports. Pre and post host at the studio desk with Gary Sheffield, Pedro Martinez and company last night. He'll join us next on G&D. The Nationals continue to stay in the fight last night.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan, the morning after. D.C. waking up, headed to the division series for about 2 hours and 35 minutes last night. It looked like another gut-wrenching, stomach-turning loss in the playoffs. And yet, 20-year-old Juan Soto and the Nationals in the eighth inning, as they've done all year long, the embodiment of this team, left for dead, and they came back one more time. Casey Stern anchored the pregame, the postgame coverage on Turner Sports' TBS studio show, and he joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Casey, what did you guys make of the Nats? Josh Hader, lefty-lefty. I mean, all day long, as you can imagine, we were saying on our show, don't be behind when Hader comes into the game or you're cooked. And it just set up one of the great comebacks in team history.
Yeah, two things. One, and congrats to the fans. 207 runs, eighth inning or later, most of the bigs. This is, I've been saying, not your mama's Nationals. It's a different kind of team. You and I talked about this a few days ago. And I think that this has always been, this year, the kind of team, which is what I think makes it so interesting against the Dodgers, that is going to give you those kind of at-bats, tag them one after another, and put you in deep water. And I think you saw even one inning. Forget Hader was in there for two. He didn't make it through one, through 30-plus pitches. So that's number one. Second of all, you got to give David Martinez a lot of credit and the guys who stepped up in those spots, holding back Zim. And by the way, I called it the hero knob that he was holding on to. The franchise face, not wanting to go away, holding on to that hero knob where the rest of the bat went out into the infield. But to have that kind of at bat, Michael A. Taylor, who we've seen in spots before, have good ABs. Everything about that inning was who this team is. And I think instead of looking around guys all year, and it's something that happens naturally to hitters, and looking for that one shadow, that big guy is going to go save you, right? Think back 2 years ago, that Cubs series. We waited all series for Bryce or Murphy, and then you get that 1-2-run home run, but it wasn't enough. It was too late. This team, each guy seems to follow what Rendon and Soto and everybody else is kind of following, which is just consistent ABs. I think that eighth inning was what you saw. And then Soto, I mean, look, as I said when we opened the post game, I said the unfortunate irony is you got a whole city that wants to buy the guy a drink, and he can't have one lately. Problem.
Yeah, Case, I was talking to a buddy last night on the way home. I mean, I got home at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm not special. A lot of Nats fans are dealing with that this morning. He's not a huge baseball guy, and he was kind of asking me, like, so how big a deal is this? And what I was trying to explain is, if I was in a Milwaukee fan or if I was Craig Counsell, I would have laid out that plan exactly as the game went, and I would have started making reservations for Los Angeles. The fact that it went that way and then went against them, to me, is that much more remarkable given how effective Hader has been.
Well, here's the thing, and this is specifically about Hader. You go to the last week and a half, I've been, first of all, he's been giving up bombs all year, and that's a problem. That's why, and I remember we're sitting there watching, getting ready to do postgame, and watching the Taylor at-bat. And I'm thinking to myself, as he's going 2-0, I think the back-to-back hitters, that's the nightmare spot, because that when he gets hit, I mean, the velocity is going to turn around real quick. And you don't want to have a guy in a bloop and a blast, and all of a sudden the two-run game is a tie game. So he put himself in jeopardy, but he couldn't command his pitches. So now he's less efficient. He couldn't find the slider at all. And there was nobody who was even going to sniff at it by the time he got to that third hitter. So it wasn't an effective hitter, and I'm not taking anything away from the Nationals. But this team hasn't seen a dominant Hader really consistently down the stretch at all. His ERA was less than 6, I think, his last 10 outings. And that's the thing. I mean, look, last year it took until the series against the Dodgers where we tried to, I've been saying, ride Hader like Secretariat. And at that point, you didn't know if you could trust Jeffress, right? And Knebel was on his way back to you, babe. Now they didn't have anyone. And they were really waiting to see whether or not Lyles would come in. But to me, it's more about the way that the Nationals, the beginning of that inning, and I think 7-8 hitters in that inning, right? The way that they made him work, that's why I think they're so dangerous against the Dodgers. Because you want to get to that middle. You want to drag them into deep water. And I think they've got the kind of at-bats where even if, hey, maybe you're down 3-1 in a fifth inning, you're going to be able to work into that swish tease that you want, and that's how you get L.A. if you bet them.
Casey Stern on Grant and Danny. You saw him last night pre and post on TBS, hosting the studio show. Case, as far as the Dodgers series would go, I feel okay about the Nats battling anybody. Obviously, the Dodgers are going to be heavy favorites, and they should be, but
sure.
Strasburg is kind of my big question. He threw 34 pitches last night. He warmed up a bunch. Can you throw him in Game 2 on Friday? Because if you don't, and it's Anibal Sanchez after Patrick Corbin, either him or Scherzer doesn't throw until Game 4 and may not even pitch. Could we just see him in Game 2 on Friday, or is that asking for too much?
You know, I don't want to put you guys back in the situation with my my guy. I call him as the old goat, my buddy Dusty.
Yeah.
Where you got to worry about who's starting what game. But you guys know as well as I do, 1-0 or down 1-0. It may matter. May not. And I don't know. Because to me, it's like if you get game one, right, and you tell me I got game. Now, I'm not saying you want to take your foot off the pedal. I get momentum. And the series I always bring up, guys, to me, the great example of this, you go back 2014, the first year that I did with TBS and the Royals. Right? They're down 7-3 in the seventh inning against John Lester. Here's Gore. Nobody even knew who that was. And the next thing you know, 3 days later, 0-for-8, go home. C.J. Wilson, two-thirds of an inning. I mean, that's how quick that momentum can flip on you. So I'm not saying you want to take it off the gas. But if you win game one, and I could tell you, hey, look, regardless of whatever happens in game two, you know, we're working the Dodgers a bit. Their rotation not that deep that you trust it. And I got Scherzer and I got Strasburg healthy at home, you may play with that. So I'm not sure that they do it that way, but for me, it may be a difference if they're up or down 1-0.
Casey, what did you make of the decision to start Scherzer? Was that as much of a no-brainer as everybody kind of made it seem? Even though
for me, yeah.
It was, yeah. So go into that.
Yeah, you know what it is? I look at it this way. I go back to, I'll give you the Stroman example from years ago. So when the you remember Liriano, that whole thing, well, certainly Buck does. Ubaldo, goodbye. So remember that decision. I remember talking to people around that club, and they said, the guys in the room, they just trusted he was the dude. That's who they wanted on the hill. That's how it always is for, you know, certain names on different teams. When you're Max Scherzer, if you're not related to Steven Strasburg or Patrick Corbin, everyone else wants Max Scherzer on the hill because that's your dude. That's the guy who's been as good as anybody in the game. To me, Ian DeGrom, I mean, you know, you split hairs, you're both unbelievable. So when you look at that guy, you know that his makeup and the stuff are always going to be good enough, even if he is not at 100%. Now, that may not be accurate, but I think that's the way you feel. And I think you always go with what the team feels. If the team wants the guy on the hill, he should be there. And I think that that's the way kind of everybody felt. I don't believe in because somebody guys make a certain amount of money or because their pedigree they should be there. That's a bunch of baloney. But in this case, it's not just that. It's, was Max healthy enough? Had he shown enough? You know, that Philly start, he kind of got better as it went on. I was always worried about the first inning. You guys know this. He always gets kind of banged early if he gets anyway, and you can't let him kind of settle in. But I don't think you can question starting him. I don't think so. I think the team probably wanted him there, and I understand.
Casey Stern's with us from TBS. I know that you said you would give them a fighting chance, and that goes without saying, right? Anybody yeah. in the playoffs can do that. How legitimate of a threat are they to the Dodgers? And you don't have to sugarcoat it for us.
Very, really? Very, very, yes. But, people, here's the thing about the Dodgers, right? And I thought Dave was great yesterday. And let's be fair, all moves are great when they work. They're all field goal kickers when they don't, right? That's welcome to our world. Talk radio, here's the phone number, call us. You know, we're therapists. That's what we do. So, you know, Joe Torre, you know, there are guys like Scott Proctor, Paul Quantrill, Tanya, so these guys don't even have arms anymore. But it doesn't matter what they want, right? So who cares? For the move with Hudson yesterday, now, how do you use it next time? How do you play around with him and Doolittle? How much deeper can you go? Where can you get guys? That, obviously, we know is a factor, right? But to me, what people don't talk about enough, and where I think the Nationals are in trouble, where I think the biggest problem is in this series, The Dodgers on the other side, they can match up with you in terms of their depth off the bench in like a stupid way. It's dumb. You guys know. I mean, the kind of numbers and splits that they have where they can play with you off the bench, and that's why they're getting all these hits. Look at the Dodgers all year better than anybody. In, you know, yeah, Kenley may blow it. He'll give up one, they'll score four. They find a way. So can the Nationals delve deep enough in there somewhere in a big game where lefty-lefty, righty-righty, whatever Dave decides to do, they can get the guy that Dave Roberts wants up against their guy? That, to me, determines the series.
Casey, terrific with us, man. Great job on the magic box. Keep it up, dude. Thanks.
Bye, boys. Appreciate you.
See you,
buddy. Be well. Thank you. There's Casey Stern. Watch him on TBS throughout the playoffs. We're Grant and Danny. Some of you have been waiting a while. We will get to you. We're taking calls as they're coming in. There are a few lines open. 800-636-1067. The Nationals down 2-0, 7 pitches in, 3-0 after 2 innings, and 3-1 from the 3rd inning on, rallying for 3 runs on 1 swing in the 8th. 4-3 winners. Strasburg the win, Hudson the save. On to Los Angeles.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. 5 hits all of last night by the Nats. Benefited from 2 Brewers errors as well. They never really, other than that 8th inning, had rallies to speak of. You didn't have 2 guys on. The first time that happened was when Dozier reached on the throw from Moustakas that pulled Thames off the bag. And that was bang-bang and went to review, but he obviously beat the throw as Thames had to come off the bag and then jump back over to first, and Dozier dug down the line. But he was a pinch hitter who reached. Taylor was a pinch hitter who reached. Zimmerman was a pinch hitter who had the bloop shot. We talked all day about how good the Nats bench has been, and the bench loomed very, very large. Many of you were at the game and want to continue to chime in. Mike is in Gainesville on The Fan. Hello, Mike.
Hey, G&D. How y'all doing?
What's up, buddy?
Great. I was at a watch party last night at my buddy's cigar shop. I'm looking through my scorebook, and I'm saying to the guys, as it's in the 7th inning, I said, look, we've come back before. We've done this in the 8th inning. And I pulled up my book from October 7th of 2017 when we had 2 hits through the whole game. We're down 3-1 against the Cubs. And we had the Harper homer and then the Zimmerman 3-run homer.
Yep.
So I said, we've done this before. And another point is that the funny way the baseball timing can sometimes work, Soto getting thrown out after that hit was probably one of the best things that could have happened as far as momentum goes in the game. I didn't even know that he got thrown out, but to be able to have Hudson come in right there with all that energy in the crowd, that was just one of those unique things that's unique to baseball itself.
Mike, it's a great call. I love that you keep score of all the games and could flip back to 2 years ago.
Yeah,
that's
good,
awesome.
Good point of reference. It's actually October 7th. Oh, I bet it was.
But I have not thought for 1 second about what you just said. I think it's a really smart point. Now, that's impossible to quantify. There is no analytic for that.
Right.
But to carry over, and I know just from being in the ballpark, the bedlam and the euphoria and the giddiness and the joy and the jubilation of the game-leading hit directly into Hudson coming in, because it happened so fast. 2.5 hours of dread, angst, agony, here we go again, they're losing, to they took the lead, and now Hudson is 1-1 in a count to the first batter, and they are potentially 3 pitches away from going on.
It's a 2-hour, 55-minute game.
The
Brewers led for about 2 hours and 48 minutes of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the game ended. The Nationals won.
Did that game fly or what?
Yeah, of course it flew.
I was watching the game with my crew, and a couple of times, like, we just kept looking up going, we wanted it to slow down. Like, this is going too quick. Everything's happening too easy.
Yeah, this is escaping. I don't like it.
The Nats weren't having long at-bats. It was a lot of first and second pitch swinging, jam shots in the infield, and they just couldn't get anything going. The way that these games get long is base runners. Pitchers slow down. They start throwing over. They start stepping off the rubber and controlling the running game. You never had that either way, really, last night. There just weren't a lot of base runners. Ben Bethesda, how are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to apologize. I'm actually on the road right now. I drove in yesterday. I'm in school up in Pittsburgh, but, you know, I skipped class yesterday afternoon, drove the 4 hours down, just needed to be there at the game last night. And it was just absolutely worth it. I mean, I was there for the earthquake a couple of years back, and, I mean, it was just absolutely electric. I'm on the road right now. I got to be back for class at 3, but I just wanted to say
pay a lot of
I'm
attention.
Pretty negative, I'll admit it. You know, I've been through a lot as a D.C. fan, but, you know, in the eighth inning last night, I never really had any doubts. I really believe, you know, where this team has come from, what they've done this season, that they were going to pull it out. And, you know, what do you know? They did. So, you know, it was just great to be there. And, you know, that's really all I got to say.
It's amazing.
Good for you.
And the fact that you were there is incredible. Kudos. I mean, I don't know what you're apologizing for, but you drove all the way down here and you got what you deserved. I mean, I guess he's apologizing because he's negative. You're negative because there's been a lot of bad times, and guess what?
And the game was going badly.
The fact that you drove 4 hours means you're 99th percentile, dude. I don't know that many people that would have done that.
Tip of the cap.
For an elimination game for a team that's never won any of them. So you still find a way to I would say, not be negative, because there's nothing negative about buying that ticket and being there and then driving back for class today. I'm sure class will be fun to sit there and just think about the Nats the whole time.
3 o'clock, like, now, did you guys do the reading?
No, I did not. Here's the reading I did.
The
Barry Skrluga's story where he goes, Juan Soto rounded second and continue heading for third.
I read Boswell's column.
As he was caught in a rundown, Soto began to pound his chest and point to the dugout. Here's the reading I did. Trey Turner, 1-for-4, solo home run, RBI. Adam Eaton, 0-for-3. Just scroll the box score. There's your reading for class. Let's go to Eric in Bethesda. What's up, dude?
Hey, Section 418 Roquet last night, and it was amazing.
Love it.
Never, four of our, me and three buddies who've been to every playoff game, all sitting in different seats, texting with each other, never, none of us, as pessimistic as we can be about the Nats, ever thought that we weren't going to win this game. And, like, that's what's shocking to hear you guys talking about, two and a half hours of thinking it was down the drain, because we were completely sure it was going to turn around. That was the atmosphere in the park.
Here's why I didn't think that, Eric, because you're right. The atmosphere in the park, and it's why we started the show talking about how great the crowd
absolutely
was. Maybe some of it is just the cynicism of the Nats over the years, which I always try to say, let's leave that at the front door. It's just hard. Honestly, it's hater. It's watching this Brewers bullpen. They had the reliever of the month in September. They had the best statistical bullpen in September. And they have one of the best power lefties in the sport over the last 2 years, Josh Hader. My philosophy going in, I was sure the Nats were going to win all day. I just thought you had to have a lead going into that. You got Max on the hill, that backfired. You got a lineup that's bigger and in spots comes through more than previous lineups and better than in previous lineups. That backfired. Wasn't working. Nothing was going their way. Nothing was happening like I thought it would. So, after seven innings, you're down a couple of runs. You've got three total hits. You can't get anything going. I think it stands to reason you worry a little bit. But there is no doubt. Like, people are calling in saying, I thought they were going to win. It's pretty obvious based on the noise all game, based on how into the game the crowd was, based on the fact that they never calmed, that the momentum in-house that was never quelled. People did expect them to win.
Yeah, you could hear.
Which
it was
is,
great.
It's fairly, I guess, surprising, but it's what they've done all year long. Matt Winchester, you're up.
Hey, guys. Recovering from probably the best game of my sporting career. That
up
was
there.
Awesome. Decided to do an impulse buy, bought a shark suit, wore it to the game.
Okay.
And I just wanted to share. Took up photos of about 100 people, but the person that was most amazing went to Salt Line, never heard of it before. Friend said, hey, meet me over there. And then all of a sudden, Gerard Aparo standing in front of me, and I told him, I said, I don't even know what you look like. Are you seriously him? I thought it was somebody just messing with me. And I got a photo with him in the shark suit. I mean, just can't believe it. Just getting chills thinking about it. And again, the atmosphere, when he hit that single Soto and everybody's throwing beer in the air, I mean, it was just bedlam.
Oh, it was. The scene on TBS, I didn't see it in real time. But after the game, sitting at the bar looking up, and they kept showing the eighth inning over and over again, there were dozens of people, like the outfield bleachers especially, legit just throwing full cups of beer in the air.
Beer shower, man. It
looked like it was pouring rain, basically, but it was just beer falling on everyone.
So one of the cooler things, and I kind of take this for granted, and I realized it after the fact. So obviously you're in the stadium. You don't see the TV copy. I'm in the press box, and the delay was really significant. So I had benefit of replay of all these different things, and I saw the play live, and of course I can see what it looked like on TV, et cetera. That park was so packed to the gills. I didn't get out of here. I came back to the station where my car is. I didn't leave here till 12:30. Well, after the game, because traffic was so bad, I just kind of kicked my feet up and drank some water and watched the highlights again. But people are stopping on the street at all the different bars and all the different spots and peeking through the window to see the highlights because they didn't see it on the TV copy. They only saw it live. And like, what did it look like on television? What did it look like? What did it look like? And that kind of fascination and everybody sort of talking about the same play over and over. Where were you? What did you see? How did it work? No, it bounced that way. He actually took a bad hop, but he overran it. Oh, no. Soto could have stayed at second. I go, this is just so cool. This is just so cool. This is one of those real sports things. It happened right here. This is so much fun.
The Beltway Blitz, a daily staple at noon on the teams you care the most about, will obviously include the Nationals. At 12:18, let's have that convo we've been long awaiting. And we will, if you want to stay on hold, we're going to get to you in the order you came in. Don't worry, 800-636-1067. We'll keep the good times rolling. But I do want to talk Worth versus Soto. Division series against the Cardinals versus last night in terms of biggest win, biggest hit, Nationals history. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.